It's a new year and better things are going to come my way. I know it. It's time for Devil's Business.
No. You suck.
Things are going to stay the same until you die.
Welcome to the show that covers the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people that are still awake while the whole of people are sound asleep. I'm your host, Patrick Jolly, and with me are the guys at MyFavoriteSin.com, Nick Alcoholic and Aaron Sofane. What's up, guy?
Do you have a stroke?
No, not that yet. I figured it's
Patrick's just gonna stroke his way into the new year.
Totally. I figured it was the last one for the year, so I wanted to make sure I got a really good one out there.
Yeah.
Yes, this is going to be the New Year's Eve podcast or year in review podcast for Devil's Business. But before we go into the stories, Nick, you got the announcement for the week?
Fucking, it's New Year's Eve, guys, and of course, it's the biggest party of the year. Get your tickets now. If you go to the website, myfavoriteSin.com, we've got a lot of events for you. Make sure you plug in the promo code SINNER, S-I-N-N-E-R, on the following events. It's a big lineup, so get your tickets.
Yeah, and save some money.
Yeah, and save a little money. So we're doing the Downtown Countdown this year in downtown Atlanta. It's at the Hyatt Hotel. That's one of the bigger ones. You see the ball drop, all that stuff. We've also got...
It's a peach.
Oh, shit, that's right. We're the Big Peach. Sorry, guys.
No, the Big Apple, and we're not the Big Peach.
It's not on TV.
He's so confused.
You're going to be there in person. Anyway, next we are on our list, same thing, Sinner promo code. You got Cosmo Lava ringing in the new year. That's Tongue and Groove. Kiss 2013 goodbye. New Year's Eve at Tongue and Groove. That's one of the sexiest crowds in the city. That's always fun. And then, of course, you got Opera in Midtown. That's one of the biggest ones in town
as
well.
Big.
Go to our website, myfavoritesin.com. Put in the Sinner promo code and it will save you cash on New Year's Eve. And then after that, if you're still ready to rock like we are, we've got our week lineup. Thursday night's Tongue and Groove, Friday night's Cosmo Lava, and back again Saturday at Tongue and Groove. So come do some shots with us and ring in the new year.
Sweet.
Oh my God, I'm so tired.
There's a lot there. You missed one though.
Which one did I miss?
Dear Enemy.
Oh my God, Dear Enemy. I'm sorry, Ryan. Tavern 120
Tavern in Marietta. I'm going to be there with Dear Enemy. Get your tickets at DearEnemy.com. There's also a link on our devilsbusiness.net page if you go to events, and there's a link there as well. We had a really kind of up and down year, I felt.
I felt like it was good.
Everybody in this room right now lost their girl and their puppy.
Oh, and you had to bring up the puppy?
So exactly, and we're really bummed out about the puppy.
Oh,
I'm not looking at pictures of girls and showing, oh, look how cute the girls are. No, I'm showing you pictures of other people's puppies.
And it's so bad that I'm going to buy you a mini pincher for your
it's
housewarming
be
gift.
Cute
little face.
I want a kiss on his face.
That, and I'd like to resolve in the last 2 days of 2013 that I'm not as big a dick as I sound. Okay? Apparently.
Wait, like from here forward, or you're resolving that everyone else is
are you
wrong?
Saying,
right, right, right.
Are you saying that the last 23 podcasts, the picture that is the image of Nick is false?
It is so far from true. It's
not that he's going to change it moving into the new year, but that
he's still gonna yell
he would
hobos.
Like to end this year letting us all know that we were wrong.
Yeah, right. Yes.
That time you accosted a hobo, the time you punched a girl in the stomach.
She
did not.
You guys, I was trying to turn this into something positive.
I'm positive you're an asshole.
Why are you embarrassing me in front of all of our listeners? Fuck.
Five people hear that? All right. But anyway, on a positive note, with all the negativity shit, we actually had a lot of cool shit that went down.
Yes, we did.
Really, strangely, as a group, kind of broke up really hard. We had the Gatlinburg trip that we went up to, the Hot Tub Time Machine trip we went
to.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was awesome.
We had the My First Hand Christmas over here where we played the drinking games and we got Nick to puke up eggnog. And
yeah, that was a blast. We threw the that paint party in Pensacola at the beginning of the year.
The paint party was a lot of fun.
Yeah, DJ Frenzy. Shout out DJ Frenzy, Charlotte residency. There's been a lot of good things, like parties we've had at the clubs this year, you know, here in Atlanta that have just been fucking epic. Like, you know, the remodeling, the ongoing remodeling of Tongue and Groove. I mean, like last night, Patrick, shout out to DJ Dak Patrick. It was amazing.
He was
Tongue and Groove has been taken care of
us.
That place is so nice.
Their DJ booth now looks like a spaceship.
Yeah.
Made of speakers.
We were doing selfies with Dak in the DJ booth. We've created the podcast, Devil's Business. I mean, fucking, we've been productive for being crazy promoter assholes.
Yep, at the cost of our love lives.
Yay. That's not necessarily our fault.
Why do you gotta make it negative?
No, I'm shit, sorry, man.
Who did this?
He started this with a positive.
You know what? I'm going more with the tongue groom thing this year. I'm just like saying goodbye to 2013. 13. Peace.
Deuces. And we're going to start 2014 with puppies.
Puppies.
Because there's no way that you can be bummed out when you have a puppy avalanche.
Yeah, you can be bummed out when a puppy's making out with Aaron's face. Ugh,
I just love him so much.
I know. It's like, you know, the puppy can taste your uvula. That's gross.
I don't care. I just love making out with the puppies. I do. They can just kiss me right in my mouth.
It's so fucking weird.
So weird. All right.
Rockin' Taco is a great thing.
Yeah. Rockin' Taco is where T works. Bartends mostly the lunchtime shifts, but so make sure you stop by and see him. He's the long-haired freak behind the bar.
Says fuck a lot and really loud. You'll know who he is.
In front of kids. It's really awkward. And we've got the plaques now. My favorite Sin's got a plaque going on one of the booths.
Yeah, so we'll have a table.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So go down to Rockin' Taco, and if we're not there, you can totally sit in our booth and take a picture with it and send
Man,
it to us.
Man, Ollie and those guys rock.
So I wanted to go into another story because we were talking about how awesome this year was, and I mentioned the Gatlinburg trip. It was kind of epic. We found a really cool, and I'm going to kind of call the story Vacation sex algorithm. Aaron and I were trying to explain to T that you can go home with a girl on vacation that is lesser quality than you would normally take home. And we devised this whole the number system of why you can do this,
right,
and why it works. And
yeah, and the thing is, we had gone into in Gatlinburg, the nightclub scene. First of all, it wraps up at, what is it, midnight?
Yeah, it was 1 o'clock on Saturday. We're at Blaine's in Gatlinburg, the upstairs club, and they got the DJ spinning and shit, got some girls on the dance floor. But it's only about, I don't know, about 50 people in there, I'd say.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people, and this is the most happening place in town.
So right.
The pickings is slim. The problem was, that started off the problem was, Aaron and I did what every stupid guy does, and we got very quickly distracted by the 7 that walked in.
There was yes. And the thing is, well, we've also got to say that we were in the middle of one of my favorite Sin Olympics. And we had all these events.
Right.
And one of them involved chicks. Now, this was a throwaway event, as I looked at it. We were in Gatlinburg, and I'm like, you know what? If someone can trick a biker chick.
I don't like saying trick. That sounds a little. We were already starting off with a really bad. It's four guys like, hey, come crawl into our truck. We'll take you up the mountain. Like,
yes, it wasn't. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is if someone could be tricked into that scenario to go on the top of a mountain, this remote area. Look, no one's going to go for this. It was a stupid event.
We got this cute little blonde girl, the high little body, and she's got kind of a decent little. Okay,
she's blowing the bell curve.
Yeah, she's screwing it up because, like, if she wasn't there, the rest of the girls that were all maybe fives would have been the average. But she kind of screwed it up, so we were focused on the blonde the whole time.
T was just insistent that there was no one in this bar hot enough for him to even talk to. I was just trying to tell him, I'm like, look, these are vacation rules.
I was like, what's the bottom number? Like, if you saw a girl as a 10 in Atlanta and you saw, like, a 7, like, what's the lowest number of a girl that you would still go to bed with in Atlanta? He goes, I don't know, like a 7. I take a 7 to bed in Atlanta. I'm like, okay, because a 7 in Atlanta is actually still pretty good. I was like, all right, but now you got vacation rules, right?
Right.
So on vacation, you immediately deduct down for, I think we deducted a point for being on vacation. So now we're down to he would fuck a 6. So if she's a 6, you're still in because you got vacation rules, right?
Right.
And then, but he then also claimed he was willing to bang almost anything.
He had said earlier in the day, I'll bang anything, which is all right.
That's another point.
Complete contradiction.
That's actually, I believe we were taking 2 points for that.
Yeah, desperation.
So now he's down to a 4.
Go through your whole explanation.
That's how we were arriving. We're taking the points off and everything. And I'm like, and you said you'd say everything. And we're out of town. And a 7 is acceptable in Atlanta. What we've got ourselves down to now is a 4. A 4 is acceptable in Atlanta. And take a look around, T, because this place is packed with 4s.
Right? It's like, and it was like a flawless logic.
Yeah.
And T immediately
goes, I get it.
And T couldn't argue it. He goes, that's kind of true. This place is packed with Ford. So I'm like, you are Scrooge McDuck diving in the gold of Ford.
And that's what I was trying to tell him. I was like, look, we're now down, getting down to the end of the game. All you've got to do
is smile.
Is do more than we've done, which is all we've done this whole night. We're talking to the, since we've been at this bar, is slam shots, slam cocktails,
and
while
awesome.
We talk about...
Talking to girls.
Fully, we ordered a couple shots, and
liquid confidence.
Now we're getting pretty drunk and starting to be a little belligerent, and I don't know why the ladies aren't talking to us. But we've worked out.
Well, the thing is, because we kept talking about giving them numbers, and we were starting to get really loud about it.
Yeah.
It became very obvious that the Atlanta assholes are judging all of us.
Yeah, and I was across the street looking for food.
Yeah, and then the bald one just left to go find food. It was like...
Well, now, and you know what? He actually made a really smart move to jump out, and I mean, he found pizza and wings at 11:45 on a Saturday night,
and I had them delivered to my hands in the doorway of the bar that we were at. And you assholes come stumbling down the stairs, and you're like, "You got food?"
Yeah, that was it. Chase us out, but while you were down there waiting, that's when I was like, "Look, we've worked out that let's say the bottom of the scale here is a one.
The top really of the scale nice. That here just means she has a pulse.
Yes, she's alive." And then the top of the scale, we've already worked out with the out-of-town and these other things, is a 4.
So that's like, a very narrow margin that is very easy
so
to find.
So all we've done all night is do shots, drink cocktails, and
give them better odds.
And talk about the odds, yeah.
Yeah, be judgmental about the women in there, and then talk about what our strategy should be to talk to one.
Aaron goes for a point.
Three chicks come walking down out with you guys.
Well, yeah. that was Aaron. Yes, I was like, okay.
That was that last cast.
The 7 has distracted us.
But there was a little beacon of hope, because one girl, after you eliminate the 7, or it was her and 2 friends, I guess,
yeah.
She was maybe a 6 on a good day.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought she was.
But
cute.
So she's on the high end of the margin. Oh, we're looking for.
So she knows she's getting the attention.
But she's been invisible. She's been invisible because of this. Because the 7's on the dance floor and her blonde hair, and she's like, every guy in the club is focusing on her, and this other girl just hanging out with her friends, having some shots and having a nice time. And so I actually went and was going to talk to the 2 guys the 7's are with and see if I could get some more intel. I was like, I gotta clarify
the 7 or not.
So I went up and started talking to one. I was like, with this whole, hey man, is there anything that happens late night, like after the clubs close around here? He's like, I don't know, I'm not from here. He might as well just put his hand on my face and pushed me out
just
of the way.
Mushed you out of the way. Like, hey, you've been staring at my 7 all night. Fuck
yeah,
you.
And I was like, okay, this guy's carrying a grudge. Yeah. And
he knows that we're talking about
but
a girl.
Then that's when I turned around and I was like, I'm just going to keep walking so it looks like I was going somewhere. Like I had a point. I wasn't just walking over to talk to him.
And then
I was
shoulders
walking past
crushed.
And was like, oh, I'll ask this guy.
It was the next group that passed him.
And passed them. Then boom, there's the cute girl and her friends. And so I was just like, you know what?
Got my line.
My whole thing was, no one else has even talked to anybody. So I should be able, right at the end, right. Hey, I introduce her
at
to everybody. We tell a couple jokes.
Scoop up a couple points. Whether he goes home with her or not, it was he's at least getting
immaterial.
A point.
Right. No. That's
to walk out the door.
Immaterial. I wasn't even interested in taking them home. I was just like, I win.
I get a couple points because I made
no,
one
we know.
Move.
We know what your motives
I
were.
I finally made the one move. But the thing is, when you're out of town, don't get distracted by the hot
7.
Girl at the club, especially if in a remote area and there's not many options. Don't get distracted by the really hot one. Try looking behind her. There's another one there that no one else is looking at. That is just blending into the background, and she's with her friends. That's where you've got to look. and just remember, you're out of town, especially if you cross the state line.
Solid advice from Aaron for the new year.
Yeah, they're not coming back home with you. Don't sit around with your dumbass friends
talking to them. Nick, you have a New Year's Eve story from years past, and we're calling it I'm Fucked.
One particular year, I was working at a Midtown club, and it was years ago, and it was so much fun at this place. You know, it's the end of the night, you know, everybody at the end of the night would, you know, close up, and you know, once the manager left, kind of hang out with the barbacks and just fucking drink some beer and shit and have a good time, man. We would do all kinds of fun stuff till like 5-6 in the morning. Just one particular year, you know, it's New Year's Eve and
right.
Same shit happens, and it's a pretty fucking fun night. You know, we had the balloons or whatever, and I think one of my responsibilities was, you know, do the countdown and pull a little fucking string on the balloons. Like, yay, everybody. everybody's covered in balloons. Yeah, Happy New Year. This is changing your life. But
things are going to be better.
No, not. This particular New Year's, I was drinking or whatever, and I think this was I had a couple Patrons, and then if you're working and you want like a cocktail, you gotta fucking chug it like it's a goddamn shot, and then you're just like, and then of course it's kind of like a beer bong where it hits you super fast. You're like, I'm fucking shit faced.
Right.
Don't go in here. Don't go in here. You're not allowed in here. Do you have a wristband? Okay, go fuck off.
Yay. Security should always be drunk.
Shut up. Shut up. I'm not saying do what I did. So, and if I needed shots, I would sneak whatever. So, anyway, I had gotten a little bit shit faced on the one night of the year that you should not drink and drive.
Yeah, this is important.
This is such
a noob move.
It's such a noob move, especially
noob,
for me.
Noob Cybot.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not drive on New Year's Eve. One, the Nighthawks are out. They're going to fucking get you. And two, take a cab. I know it's going to take 2 hours to get
even,
it.
Even if you're sober, fucking walk. Even if you're sober, just get a cab anywhere. So you're not, because you're going to get hassled by
When you show up at the party, at your chosen party at 11:30 or whatever, go ahead and call a cab right then.
Right.
And they should be there around 1:30 or 2. It'll be perfect.
No shit. That's a little bit of advice from the My Favorite Sin guys. But I guess it was probably like 5:36 in the morning. And at that point, I was like, you know, I'm pretty wasted. I can make it home. All the cops should be done. You know, it's fucking really, really late or really early. Really late for me, really early for, you know,
average people.
America.
For America. And I was driving home, and maybe I took a shot for the road. I don't know. It was pretty smart. But I'm driving through Midtown or whatever, and I'm making it back to my house. And I'm taking back roads on purpose. I'm not going to take this shit on the fucking freeway and get popped by a fucking GSP or something stupid like that.
Honestly, I think the freeway's safer.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And here's why I think that safer. You might be right.
I know I'm right. I've been doing this for a long time.
So I'm going through, and you guys remember the little shitbox neon car that I had, a little fart pipe, all that shit. Yes. I'm in the neon, and I'm driving back, and I'm making my way through fucking West Buckhead, which led you to where we lived in the Vinings. I don't feel good. I don't.
You got a bad feeling about?
I don't feel good.
Like you're about to puke?
I don't feel good, guys. You know, like one of those kind of fucking things.
Oh, like I feel something's erupting.
There is a distinct directional reverse of the fluid in my body. It's no longer going in. It decides to come out. And as I turn the corner on this one road, I fucking start, you know, furiously rolling down the window. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is about to happen. And as I lean my head out the window and get my first fucking push, I look dead ahead. And I see a roadblock.
Yeah.
Wait, so
this would be the wrong time to puke out the driver's window.
Are you actively puking at this point?
I am actively puking.
So you're puking towards a roadblock.
I'm looking at a roadblock, driving straight towards it, and then I'm trying to turn my head and but like try not to look like I'm throwing up, but there's just like all the shit.
How do you look like Coy? Something is falling out of your face.
So at this moment, I knew things could get bad.
You're such a weird guy. I'm trying to discreetly puke without making it look like I'm puking.
Out the window. There's stuff coming out the window, officer. I know that. But you saw how nonchalant I looked.
You smell that? That's chili. All right, we're good. Right. So anyway, as I fucking threw up out the left-hand side of the vehicle, and I'm looking dead ahead, and I see a left turn, and I take the left turn, and I puke again. But this now, I'm fixated on my rearview window.
Oh, you bet.
To make sure.
Because it just looks like you ditched
a roadblock.
Yeah, they see your head like,
Well, and
hey, that drunk guy just blew up the road.
Hey, did you see? I think that guy just puked out his window and he took a fucking hard left. You think he's running? I think he's running. Like, come on. How fucking more obvious could I have been? And then I make it onto that left and I'm like, look through my rear view. I do it again. And then, of course, the rest of the way home, I'm white knuckles going, this is not how you start the new year, Nicholas. You are better than this, young man.
No, you're not.
Shut up.
That's so epic.
You're so exactly equal to this.
this is on the even keel of Nick.
So that's how I rang in the year one
year. So they didn't chase you down? No.
Like, you know, thank goodness. But it was just that whole, like, fucking everything just happened at once. It was like, took the turn, puked, saw the roadblock, shit my pants a little bit, took a left, fucking puked some more, and then immediate remorse and fucking internal agony.
It's funny to me because you were talking about the being a DUI roadblock and shit like that right there on New Year's. I used to live up in Woodstock, and this one particular night, we were down at Fever. This was when New Year's was landing on Sunday. There were some arguments over the town, the city trying to make it okay that clubs could sell alcohol on,
Sunday.
We still have blue laws here in Georgia, so it was kind of like they couldn't sell on Sunday unless you had a food license or something and sell more food than do alcohol or something like that. So clubs have to be closed on Sundays. Sunday was New Year's Eve. They were like, well, no, we got to be open. And so there was some argument. So anyway, I don't think that – I'm like, okay, it's Saturday night. This is the day before New Year's. It's the eve of New Year's Eve. So I'm like – cops wouldn't be out tonight, like not thinking that the cops have a fucking calendar and realize that people are still going to go out Saturday night and party before.
No, they're all at home sleeping and resting up
for tomorrow. Yeah. So grab my friend Adam, who was my roommate at the time, and then my sister decides she's going to come with us, and we all go down to Fever and down on Cheshire Bridge or whatever. We party all night. My sister proceeds to get blitzkrieg drunk where we can't find her at the end of the night.
That's what girls do on New Year's Eve.
Well, it wasn't New Year's Eve. It was Eve New Year's
Eve. Oh, New Year's Eve Eve, too.
She was like bloody kneed, ragdoll, fucking gone.
So she's disappeared. Finally, someone comes and finds us and says, are you friends with the blonde girl? She's in the bathroom throwing up. I'm like,
that's mine.
And I'm kind of debating. I'm like, my mom and dad would be really pissed if I leave her here. So I send Adam in to get her. Adam goes into the bathroom, picks her up, carries her out, and we pour her into the backseat of my truck. I give another girl a ride home. So there's four of us in my truck, and I look over at Adam like, hey, man, are you good to drive? And he only had a couple beers, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine, man. I haven't had a beer in, you know, a couple hours. I should be fine. My sister's car was parked at my old apartment still, because we still owned the old apartment and then had the new house. So she left it at her my apartment. I said, Adam, I don't want to have to pick up her car tomorrow morning when I'm hungover and shit. I'd rather just go get it now, take it over to the house in Woodstock, and that way when she gets up in the morning, she can just leave, and we don't have to fucking deal with this shit in the morning. Dumb idea for me to do that. I could have just gone straight home, but instead I drive all the way out to Alpharetta, pick up her car, put Adam in her little Miata.
Why are you driving so much on a Saturday night?
Because I'm thinking, it's not New Year's Eve till tomorrow. The cops aren't out tonight. They don't care. Like, I'm an idiot.
It's like the Purge.
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. So I put Adam in my sister's little Miata, and I'm following behind him home. And the thing was, about a couple months prior, I was pulled over at by a cop in Roswell and had to do the whole DUI, you know, backflips and putting a foot up and shit like that. And I had definitely had something to drink that night. And the cop was asking me a bunch of questions. He's doing the whole light thing in my eyes and shit. And he finally lets me get back in the car. And he goes, all right, look, because when he first came up, he goes, how much you had to drink tonight? I went, not a drop. And he goes, bullshit. I smell alcohol. And then Adam, you know, was in the car with me at that time, and he leans forward and goes, it's probably me. I had a lot of drink. And he was fucking plastered. So Adam was trying to, like, jump in and, like, take a bullet for me or something. Like, I'm the one that smells like alcohol, which is true, but it was like, shut up, Adam. Like, yeah. Don't say
you gotta
anything.
Fuck this up.
So the cop has me do all, you know, standing, and I don't take a breathalyzer, just do all the backflips and shit he wants me to do. And then he lets me get back in the car, and he goes, all right, look, I know you've had something to drink. If a cop ever pulls you over and asks you how much you had to drink, if you be honest with him, it just makes us mad when you lie to us. So if a cop asks you how much have you had to drink, just tell him the truth. And
this feels like a trap.
And I'm like, all right, cool. And he lets me go. And basically, Adam is, you know, like, holy shit, how do you always get out of shit when you definitely need to be getting arrested? Flash forward, you know, a couple months later, it's Eve of New Year's Eve. I'm following behind Adam, and I got my passed out sister in the back of my car. I have a 12-pack of beer that has torn open and is rolling around on the floorboard.
That's good.
Yeah.
And as we're coming down 92 into Woodstock, roadblock. And there's nothing I can do. So Adam goes into the roadblock first, and he pulls in, and he remembers, and the cop says how much he had to drink. He remembers back to that situation we had a couple months prior, and he goes, I had a couple beers. And the cop goes, okay, pull your car up over there. Pulls the car up into his little where they had the paddy wagon and all the other drunks that they arrested, and all the tow trucks are pulling cars away. And he goes over there, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, holy shit, why is he over in that?
So, why are you going to that special little area? I don't want to go to the special little area. That looks dangerous. So I don't like that special
Adam
little area.
Adam pulls up in special little area, and then I pull forward, and the cop, you know, comes over. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm wearing a Fever wristband, VIP wristband.
Probably got black fingernails.
I got black fingernails. I got beer rolling around. I got a passed out chick at the back of my truck.
They don't know you're just is your sister.
Don't know. It's just a blacked out blonde chick at the back of my truck, and, you know, beer rolling around. And he's looking at me. He goes, where are you coming from? I was like, Alpharetta. Where are you going? I'm like, my new house up here in Woodstock. He goes, hey, anything to drink tonight? And I'm, and I had this flash moment. I'm like, okay, the cop said, always tell the truth and be honest. You know, and I looked dead in his eyes. I went, nope, not a drop. He goes, all right, sir, go on. And like,
oh, God.
Adam is just a guy sitting in a little Miata, which is a little suspicious. But if you know, if you saw Adam, it makes sense for him to be in that Miata. But he just says, oh, yeah, I had a couple of beers. Gets a DUI. I have to go pick him up, bail him out of jail. He comes walking out, and he's pissed at me. It's my fault that he got the DUI because I asked him to drive a car. I'm like, I asked if you were okay to drive a car.
You can say no.
And he goes, yeah, but I wasn't going to say no to you. I'm like, what do you think? I was going to beat the shit out of you if you didn't do it? I was like, I just said, are you cool to drive? If you are, then we'll go pick up. If not, we'll just go home. He didn't. And then he looks at me, and he's pissed because I tell him, he goes, well, what did you tell the cops? Because the cop told us we should always tell the truth. I'm like, oh, I told him not to drop. That's, I was like, I didn't buy that shit the cop said last time.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I told him not to drop. And he goes, and they just let you go. I'm like, yeah. He goes, you had a pass out girl and beer rolling around your car, and you had a VIP bracing for fever, and they just let you go.
I'm like, yep.
Yeah. And he goes, you get pulled over where you were definitely drunk. The cop lets you go. You get stopped at a DUI checkpoint where you have all the accoutrement of you've had too much fun that night, and they let you go. I just say I had a couple beers, get a DUI, and get arrested, and I'm in jail. I'm like, yeah. He goes, just stupid. And he was so mad. The next morning, my sister wakes up. She goes, hey, can you drive me back to my car? I went, well, you got to go talk to Adam about that shit.
Here's the thing about your car, C.
Yeah, and she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, go talk to Adam. I was like, we had a much more fun night than you after you passed out. I was like, he's back in bed now. And she had to find out he was in jail. He got a DUI, and her car is impounded somewhere with a half-eaten hot dog that he had bought at the Quick Trip, and it was just rotting away.
So this New Year's Eve, no matter what happens at the DUI checkpoint, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
If you tell them the truth and get a DUI, not our fault. If you lie to them and get a DUI, not our fault.
We said take a cab, call it early in the night.
No shit.
The next story, and this is we're going to wrap up this story. This is Aaron's Stay in the Closet Baby New Year.
Yeah, look. This was back in the late 90s, and it was New Year's Eve, and me and a few friends were over at my house, and we were heading down to Bedlam for New Year's Eve. I'm going straight to the After Hours Club.
Fuck the party. I'm going straight to the
straight to the After Hours Club, the Bottle Club. So, We had a few bottles, and we had actually were sitting around waiting on Amy to finish getting ready. So we're waiting on her to get ready, and we're just standing around having a beer, talking a little bit about the night or whatever. And I've got the TV on, and we were watching something on Showtime. I believe it was boxing. But as people started getting there, the boxing ended. Queer as Folk came on.
Right.
Which is a fine series,
is that
sure.
About gay people?
It is. It is a series about gay people. And sometimes it's a little racy. And I guess what was going on was a little racy. Nobody had really noticed anything. And it was mainly just us guys standing out in the living room. And we're standing up doing that last minute before you leave for the club thing where we don't want to sit down because that would...
Wrinkle your clothes.
Yeah, we're ready to go. We're just waiting for the last girl to finish her last lipsticking and we're done. We're out the door. Yeah. You know, it's after 11 o'clock. It's another one of the situations where I'm barely going to make it to the club.
Come the fuck on!
So we're getting a little stressful or whatever. But anyway, I guess on Queer as Folk, all of a sudden they're zooming in on this makeout scene with Hal Sparks and some other guy. And it's kind of licky and wet. And
kind of the way you make out with dogs.
Yeah, so my friend Brad is there, and he starts making a joke about me.
Watching Queer as Folk.
And it's a bunch of dudes standing around a TV with dudes making out.
Yeah. So it was already awkward or whatever. And so, you know, I try to give them a little bit of the business back and, you know, by defending the show and saying it was quality programming. And it's won several Emmys. Don't be a jerk.
Right.
It could be on anyone's TV. Gosh, don't be so judgmental.
Let's show some tolerance.
Yeah, please. And anyway, another one of our friends, a guy we hung out with a lot for years. And... he jumps in and starts defending the show, too. Except the thing is, he's defending the show just slightly differently. And, whereas I was like, hey, this is a quality program. It's won some awards or whatever. And he's like, yeah, and look, and the roles that they portray on this show, I think really say, help a lot with the gay community and people who are concerned about how they're going to be treated by their friends if they were to come out.
He's saying so much.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh.
He's defending from a very weird place.
From a very odd position.
Very and personal position.
Yeah, and the thing is, he continues to go on, and he's starting to get a little choked up about how, guys like us don't understand what it's like to be gay and want to come out to your friends who can be intolerant. And it's not that we're intolerant. But it's not because we don't have we've got a problem with the gays.
But the term calling something gay is just kind of fun.
It is. And we're not very sensitive and
just passive aggressive gay bashing. It's just fine.
But anyway, I was like, am I reading this wrong? Is he about to come out?
Like, yeah, is he setting up to come out? Yeah.
And I'm like, because I really don't want to start this evening off with a very close friend coming out to all of us. I feel like this is going to be the thing of this night.
Yeah,
because now the rest of the night, it's not just a party night. Now it's his coming out party or something.
Yeah. And the rest of this, the whole new year is you coming out of the fucking closet at an inopportune time.
Exactly. I didn't have a boa. I wasn't ready. And, man, I remember looking over at Brad, and Brad's giving me the look like, holy crap, I think he's coming out. And the thing is, he keeps going on, and now he's got tears in his eyes, and he's being emotional about how people just don't understand.
He's being a real fag about it.
Difficult.
The plight of the being.
The
plight of craving cock.
And the thing is, I can't. I want to stop it. I want to stop it and say, all right, we get it. And yes, that's very fucked up. And
you're trying to put the brakes on the guy coming out of the closet?
But I can't.
I just want to see it happen.
My mouth. And no, I didn't want to see it happen. I didn't want to see it happen right there to me.
Why me?
We're at this bad time. We're just about to get out the door. And I don't know what to do. And my friends don't know what to do. And Brad said something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But it was the wrong thing.
He's a classy guy.
And it wasn't very sensitive to the subject matter he's talking about. And, man, he turns around. And he starts getting really upset. And that's exactly what I would expect of you guys. That's why none of your friends will come out. I'm like, oh, we have more gay friends.
How many are in the group?
Is it me? Are
you saying that I'm gay and I don't know it?
And I should be coming out here because I did have Queer as Folk on, and
maybe he
I did
thought
bend it a little bit. I don't know what's happening. And
oh my God,
I am losing it because I'm dealing with this in a terrible way. And then luckily, right at the last second, I guess Amy heard down the hall what was going on and heard some of the words being exchanged. And
oh my
she
God.
Came out, like, putting her last pump on, you know what I mean?
Which
like,
go?
Like, rushing out, like she's late for work, pulling the sleeve of her blazer on and pulling on a pump, and she's still got lipstick in her hand, and she was like, we need to go.
She understood that she needed help hit the brakes.
Yes, and that me and Brad were just about to get into a terrible situation where maybe we, or maybe not, we started gay bashing one of our friends who was coming out in front of us.
Wow.
Luckily, he stayed in, and he was a little weepy in the car on the way down there, but we talked about wieners, so that should have
perked him up real quick.
Should have made him feel more comfortable. Yeah, happy new year. Just look, everyone, I support you coming out. I do. All of
you. Don't come out to me.
But don't come out right on New Year's in front of a bunch of frightened friends. Wait. Wait for
Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a spring event, I think.
Don't they have a day where they all like, oh, if you're going to come out now. Like everyone tries to push everyone
out of the
closet.
Is that a thing? I think it's a great idea.
I think they do. I think they have a come out day where it's like, okay.
That's great. And I'll bring a boa and some cupcakes and we can celebrate. I'm with this.
I told my dad at one point, I was like, Dad, I think I might be gay. He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I love parades. And there's that. And I was like, I think rainbows are cool. And he goes, you're not gay. You're just festive. I'm like, eh.
What about this
unicorn?
Festive sounds gay.
Yeah, but now it's Festive's gay. I'm like, I like to work out. I'm like, that's gay. And I like dick. That's the gayest part about you. Well, I think we learned a lot on this episode. We learned that you can dodge a DUI roadblock if you can puke hard enough and you do it discreetly.
Yeah, that's the key, is being low key.
That if you're on vacation, a four will do you. And this place is packed with fours. Hey. And don't come out on a, just make your own come out. Don't do it on someone else's.
Don't take over.
Right.
New Year's Eve. Hijack New Year's Eve with your fucking
issues. With your bullshit. And always tell a cop you didn't drink a drop. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.